This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. We got JT producing the show. He's filling in for Drew today and tomorrow. Drew is up, or at least headed up, to Wisconsin to watch a little Badger football this weekend. He'll be back with us next week.
Where does that rank in his college football fandom? Is it first?
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
I know it's up there. I know it's one of the higher ones.
I think it's one, yeah. I think it's one for him, but I don't know.
It's hard to track. He's a big fan of a lot of different colleges, so it's hard to track sometimes.
But he will be in Wisconsin watching a little college football, so he's taking a couple days for the Labor Day weekend. JT filling in, as I said, today and tomorrow, and then Bink will be filling in for us tomorrow on the show, and then we're back at it for game week on Tuesday.
I really feel like I owe JT an apology. Oh. He has now been an employee of this station for some time, years maybe even. He's been an employee of 96.5 The Fan. He is still currently saved in my phone as JT Intern. That's it. Didn't even give him a proper name. Just not even JT 96.5 The Fan, which is how I save other people in my phone, as in like your name and then your association for where you work. You were straight up saved as JT Intern. You've been an intern on this show. You're the only one of only two interns that ever existed on this show. We've tried to get others, and we've never been able to successfully get them, Gold. JT is one of only two people who've ever interned on this show in six almost full years. I'd like to get some interns back, you know? I have JT train them. He can teach them how to be a good intern.
That was a fun summer. That was a fun summer when we had some.
It was a wild, fun summer with you guys. I mean, they threw me right into the fire like the second day I was here. They're like, hey, you want to run the board?
Right.
I was like, well, I'm not going to say no to this opportunity. So, yeah. And so
I know JT's excited, too. He's wearing his Mizzou sweatshirt. We're going to talk a little Missouri football. They open up their 2025 season against Central Arkansas tonight in Columbia. So Gabe DeArmond from Power Mizzou is going to join us in a half hour. We'll check in. Obviously, the big story around them is going to be the quarterback situation and how they ultimately decide at some point on who the starter is. We know tonight it's going to be split duty between Horn and Pribula. They're going to literally split the halves.
Yep.
And that's how it's going to go down. We'll see by the time they play Kansas next Saturday in Columbia, have they named a true starter, or will they still go into that game as a true competition? Obviously, they would probably love to have some separation tonight, but we'll ask Gabe about all that and also their transfer running back coming up in just a bit. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. But let's talk a little Royals baseball because...
Oh, beatdown. Good old-fashioned beatdown yesterday.
Once the offense kicked in two nights ago in the eighth and ninth inning, then it was full throttle because yesterday
took
was,
them until five innings yesterday, but they got there.
Yeah, yesterday was one of those games they haven't had very often this year where, man, you were able to just take a deep breath and like just, you know what?
Enjoy.
Just enjoy the ass kicking in Chicago. The Royals were able to pull some guys early in the game and get Mikel and some other guys off their feet a little bit. You got to save Urseg and Estevez. They also have an off day today. So essentially, you're getting some guys an extra half day off, if not another day off. And they already have a Monday on off day on Monday, too. So it was not just needed because you need to beat the White Sox and win a series. And it was good to see the offense come alive again. But I actually think it's a big deal that they were able to have a stress-free game to not have to play some of their stars the entire nine innings.
Yeah, I think that goes a long way. That Vinny, like Nick Lofton was playing first by the time that game ended. They had a position player pitching for each of the last two innings for the Chicago White Sox. And yeah, after the night before was a stressor and the bullpen has been stressed, was it nice to be able to just throw out guys that you're not worried about whether or not that they perform? Was it fine to throw out a Jonathan Bolin or a Daniel Lynch? Some of the guys who are lower on your list inside of there? Yes. And it gives you the vibe of, for the first time since, like, May, this team was in the positive in the run differential. They are now plus 30 in run differential since the break with a 595 winning percentage. And, Gold, I know that the next question is like, well, how well do they have to finish? Remember, you and I said 19-11 the rest of the way when they had 13 games left, two wins in a row. All right, now we're at 17-11. Very obtainable-ish number. What are the odds they go 17-11? How much more winning will they have to do than they're doing now? Since the All-Star break, they have a 595 winning percentage. If they won at that exact same rate the rest of the way, guess what that would be? 17-11. This team would have to just continue to win at the exact pace they are winning since the All-Star break. So if you've been like a little disappointed in a couple of stretches where like things didn't go as well and you're like, have they been winning enough to get to where they need to go? In our opinion, where we think the final game will end up, yes. If they continue to win at this rate the rest of the way, they will finish with 86, 87 wins, depending on if they get 17 wins. And that is right around where I think the final wild card spot will be.
Right. The tricky thing is they're done playing the White Sox. So, you know, you've done what you needed to do. You've dominated the Chicago White Sox. Thank goodness. That's why you're also in the spot. But according to just strength of schedule, they have the eighth toughest remaining schedule in baseball. So you mentioned the pace that they're playing at, and if they do the exact same thing for the then they'll be right around the target range that we've discussed. Okay, that's fine. Here's what they have left. Teams that are not, you know, above 500, basically, there's only three of them left.
Okay.
You've got the Twins for three, the Angels for six. The Angels just lost like 20-3.
Well, and the Twins have fallen off a cliff.
It was a football score last night. It was 20-3, I think, in the Rangers-Angels game. And then the Royals have three against the Athletics, who actually just beat up on the Tigers a little bit in their series. But here's the tough ones starting this weekend, starting tomorrow. Tigers for three more. Blue Jays for three. Those are two division winners. A third division winner, or leader, I should say. Phillies for three. Mariners, we all know about that series, for three. And
that series is going to be massive no matter what.
And then they have the Guardians for four. That doesn't look as daunting, but the Guardians still have given the Royals some trouble. So that's what they have left. 28 games, man. 28 games to go, and the strength of schedule is 513 so of teams that they're playing. That is the toughest schedule remaining in the American League outside, I guess, of wild card teams, I should say, other than Texas. Toronto's a division leader, but the Royals, out of the grouping of teams they're really chasing, Mariners, Yankees, Red Sox, they have the toughest schedule left.
Well, yes, but at the same time, that means less to me now than it did when there was like 80 games. Well, it should mean less or more. It feels like it means less to me. Okay. I understand the idea that, look, the Mariners have kind of a soft schedule. But it's all about, to me, your schedule. You're going to have some good teams. You're going to have some bad teams the rest of the way. For the most part, it feels like it's in the middle. And we both knew they were going to have to beat good teams in order to get there anyway. So, like, I'm not overly worried at the moment that this is the situation that they're in. And instead, I feel like I'm somewhat optimistic that at least this weekend is once again another chance to beat a winning team. This time you're going to do it at home. Detroit just made them look bad in a series. They salvaged a game, but it wasn't easy work. And so if they can find a way to win this series for a currently playing poorly Detroit Tigers team who have lost four games in a row, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, well, then I'll feel pretty good about their continued move. They just got to be 2-3 games back by the time they face Seattle, because that's how you're still very much alive. Then you got to win that series or sweep that series or whatever, depending on how many games back you are, but at least you're alive. At least you have a chance.
Yeah, the only tricky thing is, and it doesn't mean that it's a surefire way to tell how the result's going to go, but You know, they're plus 470 at FanDuel to make the playoffs. That's an implied probability of 17.4% chance to make the postseason. That's worse than what it was even a week ago, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's not less games, and you're still the same number
of
games back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're running out of games to catch them. They can continue to play at this pace, sure, but it's going to be very, very close. I do think it's going to be into the final week or so. If you ask me right this second, still, I know people don't like to hear it, but do I think they're making the playoffs as of August 28th? I will still say no, and I will gladly eat crow and be wrong about that. Trust me, I would love for them to be in the playoffs. I still think, as of today, I have to say no. I don't believe they will ultimately get there because of what they have in front of them, and still the hole that they dug themselves in to begin with.
The
that
math
requires them to play at this pace just to really have a chance.
That's the problem. The math is still very much against them, so they are still kind of working in an uphill department. I just, like, the way I view it now is we have had a long stretch of good baseball now. Since the All-Star break, when they made these changes, when they added Yaz, when they added Frazier, when Salvi and Bobby and Vinny were all working in concert together, since that time, they're winning at a, you know, 595 pace. They are 30 runs in the positive in the run differential. And I understand, at some point, they absolutely, you know, they got 11 runs out of it yesterday. But it's not like they haven't gotten their ass kicked at some other point either. So, like, that outside it. You know what a 595 win percentage equates to, Gold? Since the All-Star break, they're playing a 96-97 win pace. Like, this is a good baseball team since July. And that's two full months, that means, of good baseball that they are playing. That, to me, indicates that they are capable of sustaining that the rest of the way. And honestly, they are, at the very least, average to slightly above average offensive team during that time because the three guys in the middle of the lineup are hitting, and they're getting qualified major league at-bats from other guys, including Mikel Garcia, who's been way above average. He's been one of the 15 best hitters in baseball this year from a consistency factor. So it feels maintainable. The biggest part of my, like, are they making the playoffs part of the equation is I have to be convinced that the Mariners are going to lose for you. I actually feel confident in the Royals maintaining enough wins the rest of the way. I feel good about their part of the equation. Can I count on the Mariners falling off for you is the challenge.
Yeah, the Mariners have the sixth or seventh easiest schedule remaining.
I mean, they still face the Rockies and the Nationals. Those teams both stink out loud.
Seattle doesn't have the Nationals left, but they have Colorado for three.
Oh, I thought they had Nationals. Sorry.
Colorado for three. The Angels for four.
Angels, that's
Braves for three. Rays for three. Cardinals for three. Their tougher games left are the Dodgers for three, Astros for three, the Royals obviously for three, and then they also have the Guardians for three. That's what sets up for the easiest. And then the Yankees are slightly, by like 0.2, easier than the Mariners schedule remaining.
Are we all in the same boat now?
The Yankees have seven left against the White Sox.
That's ridiculous.
Not to mention they have the season tiebreaker, so really the Royals are even a game more
like
back
six games,
from them.
It's
the Royals
back.
And Mariners what really all that matters here.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I'm done scoreboard watching for the Astros, for the Red Sox, and for the Yankees. I'm out on that game. The team you're catching, if you are catching a team, is the Seattle Mariners. Don't care what the Yankees do anymore. Don't care what the Red Sox do anymore. Used to care. Don't care anymore. Doesn't matter. Don't care what the Guardians or Rangers do. If those teams pass you, then you're not making the damn playoffs anyway. The only team I'm scoreboard watching every night is the Seattle Mariners. Like, that's it. That's all that's left. And at least some of those bad teams you mentioned, like the Braves, are not laughing stock bad. The Rockies, that's like you're one of the worst teams.
Or the Angels, who just lost 20
to 3. Or the Angels, who just lost 20-3 and are currently behind the A's in the standings. Some of those teams we're having a slightly different conversation with, where it seems like they're so far gone, there's not even much of an entertainment. Plus, you know them really well. Honestly, when it all shook out, the Royals started the season worse. The Royals and the Mariners are very similar teams. They have similar home and road splits. They have similar run differentials. They have similar records for
starting
that matter.
Starting pitching.
They have holes in their offense that don't include Cal Raleigh. Like, the Royals and the Mariners are not fundamentally different teams. They are on very, very, very similar wavelengths. The question is, will they fail? That's it. Will they fail? Will they come up short? That's all we're really asking for at this point. I actually think the Royals will get to the 85-86 win total at this point. I just don't know that the Mariners will do their part of the job. And do you lose of those 86 wins? Or two of the losses to the wrong damn team,
yes.
Which is the Mariners.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's one thing if you have the record, but all of a sudden you drop two or three of them to the Mariners. Well, then that's a much bigger problem, obviously, for the situation, the wild card race. I just hope we get to that Mariners series where it actually does matter. And I think it will. Like I think they're going to be within striking distance going into that series to where it's going to be a fun Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Kansas City, right in the middle of September for the final homestand of the season. Don't forget, Sports Talk here on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And thinking of the NFL, let's talk about this Chiefs offensive line some more. Not the Josh Simmons left tackle, but still I actually think the bigger question mark on the offensive line suddenly is left guard, where you move on from an all-pro. We all know that. And Joe Tooney, he's now in Chicago. And Kingsley has had the inside track, and he's going to be the starting left guard week one. We know Jalen Moore has worked in there. Where are you at now? Like what we can expect from Kingsley? Because I think I think we did learn from a year ago, though, not just his own performance, but if it's not good, if it's not up to their standard, if Mahomes is getting frustrated with Kingsley the way I think he obviously was with both Wanye and Kingsley at left tackle last year, if that happens again at left guard, then I do think they would be willing to move Jalen Moore or Mike Caliendo and play them at left guard. I think Kingsley has a longer leash than last year, as in, I don't think after two games he's
going to pull it. Yeah.
I don't think that, but if it's a month into the season, and I think it really matters, is Mahomes visibly frustrated with him? Is Mahomes getting wrecked because of it? If that happens, that's what would trigger them swapping out Kingsley. Otherwise, no, I think Kingsley will be the starting left guard, and can you get average play? Can we start there? Because Andy is even kind of cautioned everybody, like, hey, it's learning a brand new position, almost like we should expect rookie type of performance.
I was trying to think more about where their circumstances are, and if I like the real question I have for myself is Kingsley going to start every game this season? Like, is he going to? Because in my mind, then it does work. If at any point Kingsley loses his job, it's over anyway. His time in Kansas City will be very short. He'll be relegated to backup duty, maybe for another year, maybe not. Teams certainly have let players go after just 2 years inside their system. And I was trying to think about more about his skill set as it relates. I think where I'm at with Kingsley is I think he will be a below average left guard, but he won't lose the job because Jalen Moore at his nature is not a guard. And Mike Caliendo is a very limited guard. And I think if they think there's a pretty good chance that Kingsley can hold his own, that they will stick with him for a majority of the year, which means, I guess, for this year, I think Kingsley will work. I am not in any way willing to say that it's going to be gangbusters just yet, because there are still what appears to me to be massive holes in his ability to pass block. And that goes to your point about what you're saying about Patrick Mahomes is. His bigger issues right now, Gold, are still related to the idea that he can't pass block. And so run blocking, you probably open up some nice holes for Isaiah Pacheco. Can he hold up against some of the really good pass rushers, in fairness, in the AFC West and in the AFC, and not just get picked on? Because Simmons can't cover for you all the time. He's a rookie himself trying to figure out his own things. Creed can cover for you sometimes. So where are you? I'm walking into this season with a fair amount of worry about left guard. But I will say, they have better options behind him, and it's easier to cover for guard than it was before. But I'm only like 50%, 60% sure he's making it through 17 games.
Yeah, look, I'm not
injury. I just mean as the starter.
Gotcha. Yeah. You said you're worried about it. I think it's a question. Yeah. I mean, out of anybody on the offensive line, he's the biggest question mark. I'll give you that. I don't know if I'm worried about it necessarily. Left guard is very important, and there's going to be a dip in play from an all pro. We know that. But I don't think it's going to be this massive liability, if that's what you're... Am I worried it's going to be a liability all year? No.
Because you think if he is a liability, that it'll go to something else.
They'll just say, last year they showed us. I mean, we're not going to deal with it. We're not going to let this be a problem all year. We will pull him. And if they have to do it in game, they did it last year at a left tackle spot. I think if it became a problem, and I really think the sign of that is Mahomes visibly frustrated, because we saw last year he was visibly frustrated with Kingsley. I mean, there was in the Chiefs documentary that we talked about a week or so ago, the one obviously on ESPN, the Kingdom, you could hear it. We saw it in season last year where Mahomes mouthed it, and we were wondering what he said. He was mic'd up, and he basically was like the same. he got you on the same move or the same play.
He said same move, same motion.
Yeah. Like, and that was in reference to
we did the same thing and you couldn't block him.
And so if that kind of stuff happens again, that's what would prompt Kingsley to be back on the bench.
Look, it's an easier position from a like athleticism standpoint. You're less likely to just get bullied. It's just like the technique part that still gets him. What percentage chance would you put it at that Kingsley is the starting left guard for the season?
And not counting injury, knocking him out?
Injury aside. His play allows him to be the starting guard the entire year.
80 to 90%.
Ooh, man, I'm like 60. Like, and I guess part of that is just, it's probably just last year. And maybe that's not fair to Kingsley. He's playing a new position. But the other part is, because he's playing a new position, I do think Andy's going to treat him with kid gloves a little bit. Otherwise, that might be lower. I think he's going to treat him with kid gloves a little bit. Like, this is essentially a rookie learning a new position. And we're going to allow him some time to learn it. And I still think they handled last year different than almost any other year because of the three-peat. I think if they had come off a Super Bowl loss, I think if they hadn't been in the Super Bowl the year before, they would have been far more patient with Kingsley than they were last year. But because they were coming off of back-to-back Super Bowl titles, we weren't messing around last year. We're taking this serious from the jump. I think that's why they booted him faster.
I think that was part of it. I also just think, again, going not to repeat myself, but the Mahomes part of it, right? The visible frustration and the fact that you were going to get your quarterback hurt. When that's in jeopardy, it's a decision you have to make.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it was related to that portion of the season. I'm interested in your 80, 90%. I didn't even say, like, what percentage chance you think he's a top 15 guard in football. That's probably
just
going
starting,
a little
just
too
starting
far.
All year without an injury happening. Yeah, I think it's 89%. Ultimately, if you go in, you know, it has to be like last year where it's just that abysmal. I mean, if you go into the season and you are a starting player on the offensive line for any team, let alone Andy Reid, your chance of starting all year automatically, and if we're not counting injury, to me, automatically just have to start at 80 or 90%. Like, you were the starting it's either that or it has to be disastrous, which is what it was last year. So they pulled him. So,
no, absolutely. We'll see. I will say, as it relates to the Chiefs, there's one player I'm pretty sure by the end of the year everyone's going to love. Good timing on this. Benjamin Solak has his new article up at ESPN.com where he lists the 32 X factors for every NFL team. Just so happens, we've had this topic planned. It just so happens that player is Jaden Hicks. I think, you know, like for the same reason we were talking about how they play these players and the way they talk about them, I think it speaks massive volumes that they got through an entire season. We got through the end of the year, a team that has done nothing but have a competitive, high-level veteran safety in the team, that they looked at their room, Golden, they said, we're good with Hicks. By the end of the year, I think he's going to be a fan favorite. I think he'll be one of the players whose jerseys you'll be asking whether or not you can buy. I think he is going to burst on the defensive scene and end up becoming one of their more important defensive players. Not above Chris Jones or Trent McDuffie. Hell, probably not above Nick Bolton. But right there, right after those three guys, enter Jaden Hicks. I think he's one of the more important players on the defense because of the risk that they took not going with a veteran safety. And I think that they're speaking levels of confidence with him they haven't done with any of their second or third year or fourth year safeties over multiple years. They still kept the veteran until now.
Yeah, I think they made their choice when they drafted Hicks, and right away we saw early returns. I mean, preseason, I remember his first preseason, we were all discussing, one of the main conversations right after that was, man, he just pops on the screen. When you watch a Chiefs game live, he's noticeable. He's everywhere. And by the way, that's kind of the sense I'm starting to get with Noel Williams too. Like, it seems like it was preseason, but it felt like he was everywhere too. Anyway, Jaden Hicks is that player. Yes, they did not go the veteran route. Mike Edwards is on the practice squad, so they didn't even keep him on the active roster.
At least
feel
he's
like
still
they
around.
That.
They got like the safety net in play.
He's still around and obviously can give him some pointers as well and help them on a almost a coaching level on top of what they already have in the secondary. Yeah, Jaden Hicks, the path for him to be one of the better players for Spags and what he brings to the table, I think was just really noticeable very early on when he started getting playing time. But now it's another level. I think let's not forget Shamari Connor's role in this whole thing too. I think he's going to have plenty to say about that. But yes, Jaden Hicks, him, Brian Cook, I would say are the two guys that'll have the biggest impact at that position this year. But Jaden Hicks, as far as fan favorite, yeah, I mean, I, that's a different conversation than just like, is he going to be a good football player? You know what I mean?
I just think he's kind of the fly around guy too. So it's a little
that's
bit of
fun for people.
I think he'll be a good football player, thus leading him to be a fan favorite, right?
Fair.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Look, if you're a good player, you automatically become kind of a fan favorite. If that's your point, I'm with you, right? If the player is just really freaking good, fans are going to like you. I also think the personality and just how you play, people love, seeing somebody flying around to your point. Now, you know, the safety position is just different now than what it was 15 years ago in just terms of what you're allowed to do with hits and things like that. You know, is he going to come up and just level somebody from the secondary? I don't know if we're going to see that, but that's the physicality, I think, that Jaden Hicks presents and the athleticism.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And again, I think that at any point they've drafted Cook, Connor. They like those players. They're good NFL players. But if they had at any point loved those guys, I think they could have moved on from Reed sooner. They could have not taken Reed at the beginning. They had some of these guys in for a year. What, like, they had options where if they were just in love with the player, they would have gone this way. It also speaks a lot. I think a second-year player getting the kind of attention he will get inside the Chiefs offense or defense, sorry, with Steve Spagnuolo, he usually tells those guys, he tips his hand without saying it out loud by just usage. This goes back to like FAU or what you say about Noel Williams or Jelani or all these other guys. See how much they play early. See the reps in which they are playing. Because Spags will tip his cap very early gold of how much he likes a defensive player. Nick Bolton got on the field immediately for this team. And other defensive players have as well. Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis. Those are first-round picks, so it's a little more obvious. But you can see the guys who get playing time right away. That goes back to like what they think about their corners. Joshua Williams was the last guy to get playing time when they had all those guys in together. They clearly favored Jalen Watson at the time, the guy who got more time. Like, Spags tips his hand very early. And so I think we're going to see that early with Hicks. He's going to be a major player for this team.
All right, up next, let's talk a little college football. The Missouri Tigers open up their 2025 season tonight in Columbia. We'll welcome in Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com to get his perspective on the start of this Mizzou season, including the battle at quarterback and how is that going to play out. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here on a Thursday, it's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. We got JT producing the show, filling in for Drew. We'll get back into the Royals a little bit, including how different 2026 is going to look due to the World Cup and how it's moved around some things with the schedule. We'll get to that in just a bit. But college football really opens up today. There's a host of games starting, what, at like 3:30 or 4:30 this afternoon. I think Boise State playing South Florida. Of course, Missouri opening up the 2025 campaign tonight in Columbia against Central Arkansas. To talk a bit more about that QB battle and what we can expect going forward for the Missouri Tigers, we welcome in Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Appreciate you coming on the show, Gabe. I want to get to the quarterback stuff in a second, but just in general, based off how last year went, now heading into 2025, what is the real expectation in Columbia right now for this football team?
Well, in Columbia, I think it's a lot different than nationally. You know, nationally, a lot of people look and go, Brady Cook's gone, Luther Burden, Armon Membo. These guys are gone, and most people are forecasting a decent step back. I think the over-under is 6.5, 7.5 wins, something like that. I think people around here expect much better than that. I think anything less than 8 will probably disappoint most people. And there are a decent number of people around here that think Missouri's going to be, you know, in November with a shot at the playoff.
I know that like in college, it's a little bit different. There's a little more leeway in the you have two quarterback situation, but it seems like he's trying to play cat and mouse with it. Horn, Pribula, they're both going to play tonight. Like, does Horn have the advantage, I guess, in this? And it's his job to lose?
I've said since the beginning of this, if he plays two in the first game, somebody still has to start. And the starter, to me, is the one that, hey, whether it's 51-49 or 95-5, has the lead. Well, and then what he's doing is he's splitting it up by half. So Bo Pribula is playing the first half, and Sam Horn's playing the second. The problem with that to me is Sam Horn's probably coming in a game that's like 28-3 with Ahmad Hardy and some of the other starters on the bench. Like, I don't know what he can show me in that time frame, because I want the quarterback to be in the game at a time where there is a penalty for making a mistake. And if you make a mistake in a 28-3 game, there really isn't a penalty. So since that report came out from Pete Thamel on, I think it was on Tuesday, I've pretty much assumed that unless he trips over his own feet, Bo Pribula is the starter next week against Kansas.
What do you think about that decision? Do you like Pribula more than you like Horn? Does that make them – what advantages does he give the team over Horn in your mind?
Well, he's a better runner from what we know, but the truth is we haven't seen much of either of these guys. I mean, Bo played one high-leverage half last year. He was backing up Drew Aller at Penn State, and – you know, came in the second half against Wisconsin and led, people like to call it a come from behind win. I think they were behind 10-9 at halftime, so technically I guess it does count. Sam Horn has thrown 8 college passes, you know, so I don't know why anybody would have a preference. Just pick the better one. That's why Eli Drinkwitz gets paid $9 million a year.
Now, is the thought, though, I know probably what they would ideally have happen is that they can narrow this thing down by next week, but is the assumption that going into next week against Kansas that they'll have this as no longer a competition, that one guy will be the starter for sure?
Yeah, I mean, Drink was asked this week, is there a scenario in which this goes into the Kansas game? And he said no.
Okay.
So he will have a starter. Now, will he tell us that starter? I kind of doubt it. You mentioned playing games. I mean, he said at the beginning of camp, I will not drag this out for competitive advantage because nobody has any film on me. Well, I think that's exactly what he's doing. I don't anticipate he actually tells us who his starter is before the KU game. I think we're going to go to warmups and go, oh, hey, Bo Pribula is working with the starting offensive line in warmups. He's the starter. Either that or, you know, check Pete Thamel's Twitter account next Friday. But that's who's going to start.
I did watch, obviously, the interview clip where Drinkwitz was joking about the fact that, oh, you know what, I'll just catch a – I'm going to help make my decision by the people of Twitter and their opinion outside of that. As a coach, though, does he live a little too online? That might be an outsider's perspective, but I mean, and it is 2025, but feels like he's a little too online.
I mean, you know, he knows what's on Twitter. I'll say that. He likes to say Twitter is not real life, but he knows what's on Twitter. You know, and it isn't. Look, I've been guilty of this plenty of times over 23 years of doing this, too. Sometimes we take some shots at the craziness of these people, but the craziness of these people is why we have jobs. You know, so
sure.
We do have to keep that in mind, too, right? If people didn't care this much, then I can't do what I do. Eli Drinkwitz is not making $9 million a year. So, you know, as long as fans, and I think all sports fans need to realize this at some point, like, yes, this is illogical and crazy, but that's okay. You know, this is what being a fan is.
We're talking to Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com here on 96.5 The Fan as the Missouri Tigers open up their season tonight against Central Arkansas. You mentioned Ahmad Hardy, the transfer running back. What's the feeling about him heading into the season and what you guys have seen throughout camp?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people pick him to be, you know, the top three rusher in the SEC, maybe even number one. I mean, he had more rushing yards after contact last year than any Missouri running back had total. And everybody, you know, the pessimists say, well, yeah, but can he do that in the SEC? The flip side of that is, well, he was also behind a Sun Belt offensive line last year. Now he's behind an SEC offensive line, so that should help. There are high hopes, and I think between Prabula's running ability and what you have in Ahmad Hardy and then a couple of their other backs, like, you know, when Eli Drinkwitz came here, I think most of us thought, hey, we're going to see this high-flying passing game. It's actually, like, his offense is completely built around the running game and the outside zone, and he has had a really good running game, whether you want to go, you know, Tyler Beatty, I believe, broke the single-season record, and then Cody Schrader broke it again. And even last year, you know, Nate Noel was hurt for a decent amount of the year, but had 800-and-something yards, and I think Marcus Carroll had double-digit touchdowns. So they've run the ball really well since he's been here, and I do not expect that to change this year.
How do you view the schedule? Last year, I think the thought why it ended up being a disappointing season for Missouri is people looked at the schedule and the talent on the team and Burden and Membo and all the guys you said, and they're like, oh, this is a real chance to go to the college football playoff. Come up short of that, obviously. How's the schedule favorable this year? I know a few ranked opponents at the moment. Doesn't look like worst into the SEC.
It's the same schedule. So here is the – for an SEC schedule, it's easy. I mean, of the perceived top four teams in the conference, Missouri plays one. Of the perceived bottom four teams in the conference, Missouri plays three. So for an SEC schedule, it is on the lighter end. But it's funny you ask that because I just saw something on Twitter this morning. Somebody that covers Notre Dame had written a story. Hey, Notre Dame opens its season with two ranked opponents. Is this sustainable? Who knows? But like, if you want it to be hard, this is how you go. And I looked up Notre Dame's schedule. They play one more ranked opponent all year. It's number 25, Boise State. So they play three for the year. Missouri plays four. Everybody says Missouri's schedule is easy. You know, it's easy for being in the SEC, which still makes it, I think it's probably number 16 in the SEC and somewhere around like 25 to 30 strength of schedule overall in the country. So in any other league, you know, it's a pretty difficult schedule.
Gabe, the focus is on the QB battle, but who is he throwing to, or whoever wins that job thrown to without Luther Byrne? What's the feeling about the wide receivers in 2025?
A lot of potential, not a lot of it proven. I mean, they got Kevin Coleman from Mississippi State to basically replace Luther. And truthfully, Kevin Coleman should have been first team all SEC last year. Luther got it on name recognition, but Luther wasn't even Missouri's best receiver last year, much less first team all SEC. And that's not a shot at him. That's just what the numbers were last year. So Coleman's the proven guy. And then the other two starters are going to be Marquise Johnson, who has been largely a deep threat, but has definitely shown some flashes. And then Josh Manning from Lee Summit, who is, look, I've said for 2 years, I think Josh Manning's an NFL wide receiver, but we haven't really seen it yet. So this is the year you hope to see it. Brett Norfleet back at tight end. They hope obviously he can stay healthy, which he hasn't done for his first 2 years. And then the guy that most fans may not know, they've got a true freshman named Donovan Olubide from IMG down in Florida. And he is, I think he starts the year as their number four receiver. He's going to play a lot this season.
Before we let you go, I understand too, Gabe, there's some stadium renovations maybe going on as well for fans that are making the drive to Columbia tonight or throughout the season. What's that going to mean for the game day atmosphere and experience?
It just means, like, figure out when to leave your house. You know, like, there are going to be people who miss the first quarter and try to blame the athletic department for the lines. The north end zone is, like, you can't enter there. So if your seats are on the west side, you need to go to the west side of the stadium to get in. If your seats are on the east side, go to the east side. It's probably going to take an extra minute to get in the stadium. So if you leave Kansas City at 3:45 and think you're walking in the stadium for a 6:30 kickoff, like, that's really your fault.
you know? That's on you at this point.
A little sooner.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it, Gabe. Good to hear from you, and appreciate the insight.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. That's Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com giving us some insight on this 2025 Missouri Tigers football team. And yeah, I'm with them. I think we all know how this game is going to be played in terms of heading into next week with Kansas, that even if it becomes very clear who the starting quarterback is going
as
to be.
As in, like, the starter for this one plays looks to be the starter for Kansas. He's not going to say it.
And nor should he. Honestly, if you believe in the competitive advantage, like, I wouldn't blame Eli Drinkwitz for not announcing a starter before the game next week, even though he knows who the starter is.
And an argument, though, the only thing I would say is, the only way that you actually get the competitive advantage if you do the thing they're not expecting. Like, to me, if we all know who the starter is, we're like, well, okay, it's not Horn.
Yeah, if it's that obvious out of tonight. But what if tonight, even though
they both play
Gabe
well,
said,
but it's unknown.
As Gabe said, somebody's starting tonight, so okay, that guy might have the leg up. But let's say they both play all right. Let's say it's nothing special, but look, Missouri's a 36.5-point favorite, I think, tonight. Like,
something
they're,
like that.
They're going to win comfortably.
I saw Kansas is like a 40-something point
Wagner
this weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow night against Wagner.
I just, like, yeah. I'm still used to, like, years of Kansas where, like, I don't think they were ever, like, 40-point favorites against anybody.
Right.
It was like they were, like, 18 to 22-point favorites
against
bad teams.
It's a different era.
It's actually kind of funny. This isn't the first time Drink has done this. When we were all – the first year that Brady Cook blew up, it was the same way. It was a fight between Sam Horn, who was a freshman at the time, and Brady Cook. He did the same thing. Brady Cook played the first two quarters, and then Sam Horn played the last two. Well, we know what really happened. Brady Cook won it. So if anything tells you history, it sounds like
– whoever starts the first half is the starter.
Exactly.
That's absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think he's right in assuming that. Drinkwitz is in a really interesting spot. He's obviously not a bad college football coach. He is, however, to this point, been incredibly mediocre until the last 2 years, in which his team has won 11 and 10 games, and they've been much more in the mix outside of it. But have also, last year, they had real expectations to be like a college football playoff team with even, albeit remote, small chance to win a national championship considering the talent had around, so they came up a little bit short of that expectation. Missouri 2 years ago would have made the college football playoff had it been the expanded version of the playoff, but it wasn't yet, and so they're in an interesting spot. I'm still not sure. I think Drinkwitz is a good coach. I just can't decide how good of a coach he is.
There's no talent-wise, what he brings in, they've never had the talent that they've brought in, like, you know, in terms of overall level of talent that they've brought in to this extent and recruiting and everything. I think, you know my feeling is, I think at times he acts like he's done a lot more than what he has done. That doesn't mean he's a bad football coach or anything like that. And he also, I think, you know, the way they've recruited the Kansas City area has been pretty impressive too. He mentioned another guy from Lee Summit here. They've done a good job recruiting some of the top guys out of Kansas City.
5 wins, 6 wins, 6 wins his first 3 seasons, 11 and 10 the last two. So if you got an easy SEC schedule again, take advantage. And then they're going to get a big advantage in the SEC when they go to permanent opponents. Because just based on where Missouri is and how the other SEC teams feel about Missouri, and this is not meant to be a knock necessarily, they're just on the lower end of care factor for a lot of the SEC teams, like Florida and Alabama and Georgia, and they got LSU. They got their own things going on.
Well, they're established rivalries because they've been in that conference from day
exactly.
one. That's all
so,
it is. We know who Missouri's rival is. They play them next week.
When they get the every year opponents, they should get the easier end of the SEC, I think, at least from that perspective. I'm fascinated by their year. And yeah, honestly, I want Kansas and Missouri to both kick ass this weekend so that game next weekend It's got some juice.
I think it's going to, by the way. I think, you know, we were talking a couple months ago, it didn't feel like, you know, there was, by the time
we
get there next Saturday, I think it will. Now it's tricky here locally. Obviously, the Chiefs will play the night before, you know, but Saturday, you're not waiting for a Chiefs game, at least. You know, you're not waiting for a Chiefs game on the next day. You already know, hopefully, the Chiefs have won in Brazil already. And then Saturday, it'll be all about college football and all about KUMU.
And Sunday, you can just watch every other team in the league.
Look, both teams should take care of business just fine, starting with Missouri tonight against Central Arkansas, that is. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the fact that the NFL season is 1 week away. 1 week from tonight in Philadelphia, they open up the NFL season. And unfortunately, there's a reason why they open up in Philadelphia. But the Cowboys will be playing the Eagles. We'll talk a little bit more about what the most interesting non-Chief stories are about a week out from the start of the NFL season. But we meant to get to this yesterday, and then the Rashee Rice news broke, and that was the Chiefs were dealing with that. The Royals, meanwhile, put out their 2026 schedule. Baseball did during the Taylor Swift announcement. They had no way of knowing.
So they got married.
Bad timing.
They put out a schedule release video like the NFL teams
did. They did, and it was very good. I actually liked it. But unfortunately, it got a little lost because of the Swift news and then the Rashee Rice news. So here we are. We want to talk about it a little bit. We all know the World Cup is coming to Kansas City in June and July
of
next year.
It is weirdly close now, it feels like.
It is getting there. The draw is December 5th, I think.
Have you seen the secondary market for the tickets that you can't even buy yet?
Yeah, so I wouldn't freak out about that. Yeah, a lot of the tickets that are out there, though, were like the VIP hospitality stuff initially. Those prices are not the prices. I'm not saying they'll be cheap, but they're also not going to be the craziest.
You don't think it's going to be $1,700 get-in price?
No.
To sit in the nosebleed?
It's not going to be that. Anyway, the reason why I bring up the World Cup is we know the Royals obviously still have to play some baseball games around that. And so if you look at the schedule, it's kind of interesting. There's a few things that stand out. Number one, they start in the National League for the first time ever. They start in Atlanta.
On March 26th.
Earliest start in Royals history. I guess it's a good thing they're in Atlanta, not in Kansas City to open up because the weather
could be snow in Kansas. Yeah, not that, but it could be cold.
Four days later, they're in Kansas City. So it's not like they're getting that much of a reprieve from it, but they'll open up at home eventually against the Twins on March the 30th. Yeah, March the 30th. Yep. But the start of the season is one thing, but then you look at July and June. They play the Cardinals on the 18th, I think it is. Yeah, the 18th of June, 19th, and then the 20th on a Saturday, they're off, which no team's ever off on a Saturday, but they are because I believe there's a World Cup match scheduled that day across the parking lot at Arrowhead.
For box-related reasons, teams don't take Saturdays off. Turns out, that's a time when a lot of people are free. It is one of the more interesting schedules, and yet I feel okay, Gold. I was a little bit worried that it was going to turn into the San Antonio Spurs rodeo schedule.
A month off or something.
And what we were going to see was the Royals living their ass on the road for a like crazy amount of time. Now, they are on the road more. The early part of their schedule, the April and May part, they are at home way more. The June, July part, you'll see a lot more gray. So they will be on the road more during those months. The weirder part is the number of days off. They scheduled them early because of the number of like weirdo days off they scheduled during that time. And like you said, the fact that there's a Saturday without a game, but that's because they make them play like 10 straight days before taking a Saturday off in a split homestand that carries into a Sunday, which makes no sense. So largely this is going to be get used to slightly longer road trips and get used to June and July being like, I don't think they've been home a lot. And the one thing we don't know yet, which I think will occur, is there's going to be some weirdo game times.
We don't have the game times yet.
They're not going to put those out yet. But what I think we're going to get as a result of this is maybe it's like a Friday day game against the Cardinals so that they can prep for Saturday.
Chance.
And you're like, okay, so no Saturday game. And also like we're the Cubs all of a sudden. It's just like a random Friday day game. Honestly, I'll be kind of tempted by it. For us, I'd be like, okay, sure. You know what? Let's head out to the game.
The other thing I noticed with the schedule is this also goes with the fact that things got moved around a lot because of the World Cup. They're home for every nice weekend, typically weekend, holiday. You know, they're Mother's Day, they're home. Father's Day, they're home. Memorial Day, they're home. 4th of July, they're home.
Although they're off on July 3rd, a Friday, there's another random weekend day they're not, or weekday.
But they're home on 4th of July against Philadelphia. How fitting.
And you know what?
Yeah, and it's the 250th
anniversary. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it'd be cooler if they were in Philly.
I hope they put a lot of bunting up for that game.
Oh, jeez. Yes, I'm sure you do.
Come on.
I'm sure you do.
4th of July against the Phillies?
Yeah, but against the fact that it's against the Phillies.
On the 250th anniversary of this country, I think that I think some bunting is appropriate.
That's also, what, a week and a half or 2 weeks before the All-Star break when the All-Star game is in Philadelphia.
Yes, and they'll do, bunting will be all over
All over.
Yeah, massive amounts of
it. They might actually, like, I know the Nationals are the team that does the President's Race instead of, like, the Hot Dog Derby.
Yeah.
I feel like at the All-Star game, Philly needs to borrow that idea, and there's like a hot dog. There's the president's race during the
or founding
All-Star
fathers.
Game.
Like, sure. If you don't want it to be Five. Just presidents, it could be Five. Some other dudes
Perfect.
Who were founding. You could have you want Hancock on there running around? Go for it. I don't care.
Sure.
Put you know whoever you got for the race, whichever four founding fathers you're thinking are the most important during that time. I am willing to open that. It's gonna be a weird. This is why, like, how they finish this season, how they start next season, it feels more important because they're going to be dealing with stuff other teams won't be dealing with. Not zero, because obviously LA is also going to have World Cup games. New York is also going to have World Cup games. I can't remember all the cities now, but, you know, other cities
Dallas,
with professional
maybe?
Baseball teams
that doesn't really impact
will
them.
Have World Cup games in their markets and will have to deal with something similar. This goes back. You know what makes me think of this is the stadium stuff. None of this. They would just keep their normal schedule and then share a parking lot. The weirdest part of their arrangement is not that two professional sports can't happen at the same time in a city. It happens all the time. The weirdest part about it, Gold, is that they share a parking lot, so they can't happen at the same time in the same mm-hmm. area. It doesn't work. They can't play games at the same damn time. And so, like, this goes back all the way to the stadium stuff. And what I hope is an eventual answer on this. And I'm guessing 2026 we'll get some more
Maybe.
Clarification.
Maybe.
Notice I said 2026, not five or the end of this year. We'll get some clarification on where those things are. This, like, if I'm the Royals, I got to give up a Friday night. I got to give up a Saturday night. I might have to play some games in a weird time. And for all I know, the Chiefs are giving them a financial kickback in order to let them use the stadium at the times that they would do it. Although Jackson County kind of runs a show there a little bit. But it is kind of weird that I got to carve up this. This is why we want, that's why the Royals want their own space. They want to be in their own area doing their own thing.
One of the many, many reasons why. Yeah.
Sure. Financial reasons, a million others. But it is kind of weird to get, like, kicked out of your own parking lot sometimes, you know? Like, I imagine as an MLB or NFL schedule maker, it's a bit of a challenge to do that. And, like, if you're the Royals right now, it's like you obviously conceded the World Cup. And for your sake, when they show the aerial shot of a team playing at Arrowhead Stadium, Kauffman will be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the betterment of the entire city, the World Cup. I mean, that's why everybody's was involved in the bid. Remember, both sides of the state line were involved in the World Cup bid. I understand that the games are at Arrowhead, but both sides of the state line were involved with the bid. Both states had to kick in some money. We know from a facility standpoint, I believe Sporting's going to have their facility used. We know the Current are going to have their facility used. So, I mean, it is truly a regional bid and a regional mm-hmm. win for the World Cup coming to Kansas
Royals
City.
Royals knew if the World Cup came to Kansas City, they would be displaced for some games. They were signing up for it. I'm not saying that.
And I did think there was a chance they were going to be on the road for like 3 weeks. They're not.
I thought it was going to be the San Antonio Rodeo Tour, and it wasn't quite as bad as that, which is good.
All right, up next, let's talk about the NFL. 1 week from tonight, it kicks off. So some of the biggest non-Chiefs stories that are out there, and we'll also get to the trash of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.